Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to all of you, our listeners. The company is Thor Explorations, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol THX, and down in the US on the pink sheets under the symbol THXPF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Segun Lawson. Now, Segun, we're going to provide a comprehensive overview here of Thor Explorations and three projects that the company is continuing to progress here. One project that is in the construction stage right now, one project that looks like there's a lot of exploration potential, and the final project that is a JV with Barrick that's being funded through a PFS. Let's start with the project that's in the feasibility and construction stage. This is the Segulola project in Nigeria. This was acquired by the company back in August 2016, and as I mentioned, this is a very advanced project. Let's start off with the known resource. Segun, can you please give us a broad overview of what you guys know is the asset here?
Sure. Thanks, Corey. So this, the Segulola project, is a project, like you say, acquired in August 2016. We took it through initially preliminary feasibility stage, and then we actually completed the feasibility study in February 2019. So that's all done. And we were very excited by the economics of the definitive feasibility study. It showed a very robust project with in-pit reserve of 405,000 ounces, grading at 4.2 grams per ton in the open pit. So that's a very high-grade open pit project. Also had an indicated resource of 441,000 ounces, grading at 4.5 grams per ton, and then an inferred resource of 73,000 ounces, grading at 6.8 grams per ton. So that was the open pit numbers. Underground, we did a preliminary economic assessment on a component of the underground, which this resource is still open at depth. So we haven't closed it out. And that's one of the things that excites us, the growth potential here. In the underground, it had an indicated resource of 28,000 ounces and an inferred resource of 90,000 ounces. So that we're all looking to increase those numbers underground, and which can contribute to the production of the open pit.
Let's talk about at least the production numbers right now. There's an interesting nuance here in Nigeria that you shared with us off mic, and that's the fact that no tax is payable in Nigeria for the first 5 years of production. That drastically impacts some of the feasibility numbers and makes them very attractive. Share with us the IRR of the project, some of the other feasibility data, such as the NPV.
That's correct. With the Nigerian government trying to kickstart the mining sector, they've really put incentives in the Mining Act to make it a very enabling destination for up-and-coming mining companies. So there's zero tax payable for the first 5 years of production, which means our NPV is the same pre- and post-tax. There's 100% ownership of your projects. There's no government free carry. There's ability to repatriate 100% of your dividends. The project NPV, we did a $1,300 gold price. Obviously, that was in February 2019, and the gold price has massively improved since then. At a $1,300 gold price, the project had an NPV of $138 million pre- and post-tax, a post-tax IRR of 50%, and a payback of 1.5 years. The target production, as per the DFS, is 80,000 ounces per year for the life of mine. Needless to say, at today's gold price, those numbers are even more attractive. At an $1,800 gold price, for example, the NPV is just over $300 million. The payback is just over 9 months. And the IRR is just under 80% as well. So it's economically, with the growth in the gold price, this project is even more attractive.
So in terms of the construction stage, how close are you as a company to your first gold pour?
So we've been constructing since February last year. You can see on our website, we've got a tab called Notes in the Field. We try and update it with a couple of pictures every week and videos. We're scheduled to pour our first gold next quarter, so just a few months away. The project is on track to do that. The project is on budget to do that as well. The long lead items, so for example, the SAG mill, the ball mill, have arrived in country and are at site. those were the gating factors. We were all holding our breath to see if they'd get there on time, and they have. So those are being installed now, and then the steel structures will be put in after the sag mill and the ball mill. So we've built all the civil works. You can see all the ancillary infrastructure, the water storage dam, the tailings management facility, technical buildings, admin buildings, and accommodation. That's all been built as well. And yeah, we're looking forward to what will be a transformational event, taking us from an explorer to a producer sometime in the next quarter.
Yeah, and it sounds like profitable producer as well. Do you have, or can you provide any insights in terms of what this project is expected to cash flow when you are in full-scale production?
Yes. So we have an all-in sustaining cost for the life of mine, just under $700 per ounce. So at today's gold price, it's about $1,000 margin per ounce we produce. We're aiming or we're projected to produce between 80 and 90,000 ounces per year over the life of the mine, the first 5 years for sure. So, you know, that at today's price, we're looking at cash flow of around about $100 million per year for the 5 years. And you take CapEx out of that, which is just over, is around about $85 million. So it's a very profitable project. Like I mentioned earlier, the payback is very quick. We expect to be in free cash flow before the end of year one, and then generating these numbers. And then, you know, the real upside then becomes when we're looking at increasing the resource size, the depth, satellite deposits as well, and extending the mine life.
Can you share with us some more information on what the exploration attack strategy is going to be then, since you do have opportunities at depth? Obviously, you do want to extend the mine life with how profitable this project is, but how are you going to balance out the near-term exploration around the known deposit and also some of these potentials at the satellite deposits?
Sure. So there was low-hanging fruit, and the first one to convert was in the pit. We had material in the pit, about 73,000 ounces at a high grade that was in the pit. So the first thing we did last year after getting funded in terms of exploration was to drill these areas in the pit that were classified as inferred with a view of converting them from inferred material to reserves. And we press released those drill results in the fourth quarter last year, and we're very happy with them. We intersected the ore body exactly where predicted, in most instances above the previously modeled grade. So that was the first win for us, converting those ounces, which were previously categorized as waste material because they were inferred, but already going through the processing plant. Now, all that information, those drill results, which are in our recent presentation up on our website, all that information is being fed into an updated reserve statement. And, you know, we've been working on that updated reserve statement for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, that's going through a few more iterations and going through a third party qualified person. And we're aiming to press release that updated reserve statement in a number of within the next couple of weeks. What that does mean is we're looking at having an improved reserve number from the 405,000 ounces that were in the pit. And obviously, because the gold price has increased from when we did it 1,300 to now 1,600, we're looking at a slightly bigger pit as well. So to eat into some of that underground material. So we think that first milestone of exploration has been a success. We drilled, we were happy with the drill results. We've improved the number of ounces, and that's being fed into the updated reserve statement. The next two areas which we're looking at of upside are drilling at depth, which is underground, and also satellite deposits. The drilling at depth, we haven't closed this resource out yet. Our deepest holes are around about the 300 meter mark, and we've intersected the ore body there. So we'd like to chase some of these chutes down. We decided not to do that just yet because we'd like to preserve this cash. These are the deepest, most expensive holes. So we'll complete that when we're in cash flow. However, the next bit of low hanging fruit, should I say, is the satellite deposits. And those range from the soil anomalies we get within, you know, 700 meters to 1 kilometer of the pit. We've started trying to sterilize those, but also different prospects we've been working up in and around on our licenses within a 20-kilometer radius. And that drilling is just ongoing. So that's constant. And we're looking to get news flow out from that drilling as we get it in.
Okay, perfect. So there's still a lot of exploration to be done here, but I think one thing that can really draw investors in is starting production here and cash flowing potentially as much as you have outlined all through that feasibility study. Let's talk about the project in Senegal then. This is more your exploration project. A lot of exploration going to be done here. It's the Douta project. Last year, you guys drilled 10,000 meters. This year, I believe you're looking to drill another 10,000 meters. Take us through what you already know about this Douta project, please.
So the Douta project is exciting. It's got a discovery on it. It's got a number of targets on it. We've run a couple of drill programs on it over the last few years. This was initially, you know, this was the first project of the company. However, when we acquired Segilola, it was so much more advanced that we refocused on Segilola and getting that to cash flow. However, you know, we've always believed in the potential of Douta. So we've never once agreed to joint venture it or farm it out to anyone else because we believe there's a huge amount of value to be unlocked here. So our most recent drill program, we drilled a couple of targets, but our main target in the Douta project is called Makosa. And it's really exciting because this project is only 5 kilometers away from the largest undeveloped gold discovery in Senegal, which is Massawa. Massawa was sold last year by Barrick to Teranga for $430 million, which puts an immediate premium on the Douta project being only 5 kilometers away. We tested extending this known mineralization that we had historically. We increased it by a kilometer to the north very successfully. We drilled and press released just a couple of weeks ago, on February 9th, a target to the south. Those were our highest ever intersections drilled at the Douta project, 5 meters of 14 grams per ton. That actually had a meter of 57.9 grams per ton and was pretty shallow, 36 meter. We had 5 meters of 6.9, which included 2 meters of 12.9 grams. We had 10 meters of 2.18. So, you know, there's a deposit here. We haven't quantified it yet. The next big milestone in Douta is getting this into a maiden resource. And I think, you know, people start taking notice that there's something very tangible here. I don't think this is priced into our share price at the moment. We're really labeled and valued as a Nigeria company. However, it was our intention to go into a maiden resource at Douta this quarter, but we were so happy with our drill results and it left so many questions on the table, which was how much bigger is this deposit? It's still open to the north and to the south. There's an infill area. So we decided to go ahead with another 10,000 meters, which is starting this month. Once that's done, we'll feed all this information to a maiden resource in Douta, and we expect it will be material for the company as a whole.
So what's the total strike in terms of length as well as depth component that you have already drilled that you are seeing mineralization in here at the Douta project?
Yeah, so at the moment, we've got a 6 kilometer strike length. We have an infill area of 1.6 kilometers as well. Should that be mineralized as well, you know, we'll be looking at something just over 7.5 kilometers long of consistent mineralization and a number of parallel loads. So we're quite excited about what this maiden resource is going to look like. It's a significant deposit. You know, we believe it's bigger than what we have in Nigeria. It's a lower grade, but it's certainly a bigger deposit.
Okay. But then after this 10,000 meter program, then you are intending on putting out that resource. When's this program going to start, this 10,000 meters? When do you expect to complete it?
So we had our first 10,000 meters, we signed a contract with the option of extending by 10,000 meters. So we have availability of the rig. Our team is currently on site, putting in the access roads and preparing the drill pads. I understand the rig just needs one or two spare parts that are to make sure, you know, they're on standby if anything breaks down. Once those are in Senegal, we start drilling. The latest update was at the beginning of this week, Monday, where we were told we would have the spare parts within 10 days. So we're hoping to start drilling in the next seven to 10 days.
Okay. So, some near-term catalysts in terms of this project, too, and the drill program. Let's quickly talk about the project in Burkina Faso with the JV with Barrick. As I mentioned, Barrick is funding this through a PFS, and they will hold 80% after completing that PFS. The project is called the Central Hundi Property. What other details can you give us about this relationship with Barrick here?
Yeah, look, I have to confess and be completely transparent. Barrick are almost our joint venture partner by accident. We had a joint venture with Acacia, who were acquired by Barrick. So we ended up being in a joint venture with Barrick. The deal was to do the initial exploration work, which has been done, to get to 51% and leave us with 49%. And then from here to carry this project through 100% funded, through to PFS, and by doing that they would earn 80% and leave us with a residual 20%. So that's been the agreement, that's ongoing. It's no secret that Barrick are looking to divest their early stage West Africa portfolio, but at the moment, you know, this is even though that's an option, we continue with as the JV is at the moment. So for us, you know, if they find something there and get it to PFS, it'll be a fantastic situation to be in. If they don't, it's not costing us any money. It's a very prospective belt. It hosts Roxgold's Yaramoko. It hosts Samafa's Mana Mine. It's a very prospective area of West Africa. And we all our energy and focus resources are in Nigeria and Senegal. And this is optionality and upside.
Yeah, it's a nice free carry, right? But you do have that relationship with Barrick, so I'm sure we'll stay up to date on any advancements that Barrick has there. Let's talk about some of the other company fundamentals. Share structure, 621 million shares outstanding on a fully diluted basis, a little more than 659 million shares. I'm seeing board and management owns about 9%. You also have some institutional investors in there holding 32%, and Africa Finance Corp that holds 17%. Can you give us more info on the relationship with this group?
Yeah, the relationship is multilateral with Africa Finance Corporation. They're our biggest shareholder at 17%, but they're also our senior lender. So to get the project funded, they put in a $54 million senior debt. We've drawn down $21.5 million of that. We'll probably be doing the next drawdown at the end of March. And also they put a prepayment on a portion of the gold, a stream of $21 million, which we fully drawn down. So their total exposure to the project and to the company is $86 million, divided across equity, senior debt, and a stream. And they have a board member. They had a board member, you know, board representation as well. So they're entitled to keep this board seat while they're our lender and shareholder.
Okay. Talking about cash in the bank, how much cash does the company have? And we also do need to highlight that there is a line of credit that you have drawn down to help you build this mine. Give us some more information on that as well, please.
Yeah. So the total funding requirement was $104.5 million, which we pulled together from a number of various sources, Africa Finance Corporation and equity, and also our EPC partner. We have ring-fenced that money strictly for the project. Now, that money also includes a $3.5 million cost overrun facility, in case, you know, there are any delays or any unforeseen issues that require additional funding. That money sits at project company level. And we have drawn down pretty much all of that money except $32.5 million, which we intend to draw down in March as we're going into production. Apart from that, we at Thor level, at top company level, did an equity raise in July last year. In fact, we raised $14.4 million, which was more than we were looking for. We were only looking for 10. So we used the surplus $4.4 million to buy out old legacy shareholders who wanted to exit. And we retained $10 million of that. Now, that $10 million is really what's driving the exploration in Senegal and Nigeria, and the corporate as well. Of that $10 million, we have about $6 million left.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And just another quick note regarding that line of credit, because the asset is expected to cash flow so quickly and early on, what's the payback period?
Yeah, the payback period is very short. We believe after 9 months, we should be in free cash flow. And, you know, if we do hit our targets, we should be, you know, generating cash of pretty similar numbers to our market cap on an annual basis. So, yeah, it's a very robust project. And we hope we continue to safely and implement this project on time and on budget, and it performs to the standard we expect it to.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that update. Now, just wrap us up with a summary of some of the near-term news flow and catalysts that investors and those watching the story can expect.
Yeah, you know, we're under the radar. Not many people have heard of us, but we have very strong cash flow coming around the corner of, you know, around about $100 million per year. We have not just that, so that transforms us from an exploration company to a producer. But in addition to that, we have in parallel a lot of, you know, very stimulating, exciting news coming up. So we have drilling in Senegal, 10,000 meters across the Douta project. And those drill results, I mean, previously we waited and we got, you know, a few weeks of drilling done, and then we sent them off for sampling. I think what we'll do is we'll start sending them off in smaller batches so we can have constant news flow. That's the first thing. We will be looking to do the same in Nigeria, where we're drilling the satellite targets. So we'll have drill results ongoing. Then the next big milestone is the updated reserve statement in Nigeria. We will be looking at that in the next couple of weeks. In next quarter, we have maiden resource statement in Senegal. And then also in next quarter, we have first gold pour in Nigeria, which is exciting. And then after first gold pour, ramping up into commercial production in Nigeria and updating the market on how that's going through to the end of the year. And we wouldn't just like to be updating the market on commercial production. We'd like to be updating the market on ongoing exploration in both Nigeria and Senegal. So there's a huge amount of news coming out. Hopefully a lot of it will be positive. And these are all very significant catalysts.
Yeah, this year sounds like a busy one for the company. A lot of catalysts and that first gold pour. So I hope we brought everybody up to speed. There is a lot going on with this company. So if you guys have any follow-up questions or any aspects of the company that you want Shaygun and I to look over and provide some more information on, please just email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will follow up with Shaygun. And we're also going to follow up as some more news hits the market, because there is so much near-term news flow. Shaygun, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you very much.